You're listening to the Sunrise Community Church Podcast. At Sunrise, we desire that the glory of God would be the glory of this city. If you would like more information about our church, please visit our website at sunrisecc.com. Let's join this week's message.
Psalm 86, great is your steadfast love. And if you look, if you have Apple, if you look at your calendar app, you'll notice today is Eid al-Adha. Everybody celebrates that, right? As Christians, we most likely don't even know what that is. There's quite a few holidays that pop up on our phones that you just glance over them because we don't know what they are and they have no importance to us. But today we are studying God's steadfast love. And according to the calendar experts at Apple, it is Eid al-Adha, which is an Islamic holiday that honors the willingness of Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac as an act of obedience to God. But just before Abraham is to slaughter his son, God provides a ram. God's steadfast love was enough in that moment. And I thought, even though we may not agree with their beliefs, the fact that others around the world are celebrating a moment that exemplifies God's steadfast love was pretty neat for our study today. Now let's change gears. And a few weeks ago, we had a moment with a responsive reading where we were called to remember God's steadfast love over and over and over. And over and over and over and over and over. And I jest, but we so desperately need moments like that. We desperately need them. Why? Because we're fallen creatures that would do well to remind ourselves every second of every day that God's love is never failing. We can't hear it enough because we're so easily distracted. Did I turn the stove off? Did I feed the cat? Is that my stomach? I'm hungry. Where are we going to lunch? Are we going to Zaxby's? Oh, since we're going to be at Zaxby's, I should probably get gas while I'm there. Wait a minute. I'm supposed to be doing a sermon. We get easily distracted. Those constant reminders we need to slow down and change our focus on what matters. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word, we thank you that we can do so in peace and without fear. You've given us a meeting place and a family to fellowship and worship with. We're truly blessed and praise you for your glory. Because of these brothers and sisters, we can continue to draw nearer to you daily. We eagerly want to know you, Father. As we turn to your word, we ask that you continue to shape our hearts and minds to better reflect you here. Your power and glory are unmatched, but thankfully so is your grace. Your son was broken on the cross. Your son broken on the cross is your steadfast love and should always be present in our. We love you and praise you for all these things in your son's great name. Amen. Over the past few weeks, our Psalm Summer has brought scripture that on numerous occasions used the phrase steadfast love, reminding us again and again of God's faithful love. And today we have Psalm 86. This psalm, labeled a prayer of David, is probably not pinned upon any particular occasion or time, but it's a prayer he often used himself. His people often used it, especially in days of trouble. It was a constant prayer in their lives. Hear David's prayer. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant, who trusts in you. You're my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. He's crying out to his Father. Have you ever had moments like this in your own life where your innermost self feels like it just wants to burst out and go to God? I know most of us have had those gut-wrenching moments where you're physically pained and desperately need God. But look at what he says in the last part of verse 4. I lift up my soul. How do you lift up your soul? Is there a specific act that we can do? Do we raise our hands, get as close to God as we can, as like children? Or do we actually levitate, lift ourselves to God? Or is it just a feeling of a strong desire internally? Many people think it's an idiom, a phrase that has meaning other than the words used. It's deeper than the words used. Like, it's raining cats and dogs outside. While it might be raining hard, there's no poodles, corgis, or tabbies falling out of the sky. Or an even better example is, I've seen the light. That euphoric moment when something clicks in our minds. But we're not staring into a bright light. So here is David says, I lift up my soul. He's not performing some special act. He's conveying a deep longing and heartfelt breaking and yearning for his Almighty Father. Something words just can't do justice. Which is our first point, where's your heart? Anytime we come before God, our hearts need to be oriented in the right place. But this prayer, while it was probably prayed many times by David and his people, it's not a chant or a song. It's for hard moments, for heartbreak and pain when we cry out to God. We should do the same when we go to Psalm 86. We should be on our knees with our hearts open, yearning for God. That's why I love Romans 8:15. It's a great reminder in Scripture that also helps us orient our hearts. Romans 8:15 says, "For you do not receive the spirit of slavery, fall back into fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." He chose us, adopted children that should cry out to him and reach for him with our hearts completely. And we continue in Psalm 86. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I called upon you. For you answer me. And you'll notice he's still crying out to God. But then verse 8. Notice his focus shifts. So listen and follow along. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord. Nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God. With my whole heart, I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. So he makes a shift from crying out to the Lord to praise and worship. And I imagine him doing this with still with tears in his eyes. He's praising God with tears of joy because he knows his Creator well and his heart cannot stay in a state of defeat and needlessness, neediness, because he knows and loves his God so well. It's amazing how quickly he can change from pain to praise. Even in mid-prayer, God is a comfort to him because he knows how powerful his God is. He knows the creator of the stars has invited him into his presence. He goes from ugly crying to smiling and wiping the tears away. Just like that. Because he knows the promises God has given him and his people that ultimately are fulfilled in Christ. I see David having tears of joy in knowing God, but there are still more joy, more tears of joy to come. Listen to me, listen to Jeremiah prophesy about Christ, the Good Shepherd, in Jeremiah 31. With weeping they shall come, and with pleas for mercy I will lead them back. I will make them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. So there's weeping in Jeremiah 31 as well when he calls us home, but there are also tears of joy because he's leading us home. How wonderful will that be? Now back to Psalm 86. He goes into his final section. He says, O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant, and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign of your favor, that those who hate me may see and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped and comforted me. Here David's found confidence in the Lord. Look at that last line again. Because you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me. Not his army, not his wife, not a family member. The Lord has helped him and comforted him. David is truly confident in his God. He knows that no matter who or what stands in front of him, he's not alone. His God is with him. He draws on his previous perils and experiences and savings through God that he has confidence, a lot of confidence in God. Look at 1 Samuel. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. Facing a foe massive in size, with amazing armor and weapons, he didn't care. Since the beginning of David's life, he's displayed unmatched faith and confidence in the Lord. As we finish Psalm 86, I want to point out three sections specifically about God's steadfast love. Verse 5, for you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Verse 13, for great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. And then verse 15. But you, O Lord, are God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. In the original Hebrew, the word hesed is used, which translates as steadfast love. And Adam's even preached on this before. But here in Psalm 86, great is your steadfast love, I felt it was fitting to remind ourselves. Because that word, hesed, in Hebrew, has more than just a one-word meaning. And it's not easily found or expressed in the English language. It has a deep, deep, thoughtful meaning. And in my study, I came across one commentator who said that essentially, hesed is unremitting love within a covenant relationship. Even when one party fails or is unfaithful to the covenant, when you consider hesed, you think of a word developed by Paul in the New Testament. Grace. Favor that is extended to a person unilaterally, not on the basis of how well one performs or behaves or reciprocates that love. Grace is God's favor that is neither earned nor deserved. So this phrase, hesed, the original Hebrew, leads us to God's grace. And God's grace is no greater place exemplified than in the redeeming work on the cross. And I don't want to stand up here and shake my Bible at everybody and shame us into a deeper love of God, myself included. But we live on this side of the cross. God has revealed more to us about his plans than David had when he was praying those things. This should first put us in awe of David's heart for God, because he didn't have a full story. Just a promise. And second, it should inspire us to love and trust God absolutely, without doubt, at any time in our lives. Let David's prayer focus your heart, give you tears of joy, and strengthen your confidence in God. Let's pray. Father, in hard times, it may be easier to cry out to you when we have nowhere else to turn. But especially in all our ordinary and everyday lives, focus our hearts on you, God. Let us learn from David and his unwavering trust in you. It should be easy to commit our lives to you, with the fact that we have your word, God. Yet you know our fallen state. Please, God, we beg you to help us to only seek you, Father. Remind us daily that we accomplish nothing and we are not safe from anything without you. You are a powerful, mighty, holy God. Your hesed has carried us through much in this life, God. Without your holy and perfect grace, we would be destroyed. We praise you, God. We can offer nothing more than our love. We love you, Father. In your Son's great name, holy name, we pray these things. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sunrise Community Church Podcast. We pray you are blessed by the preaching of God's Word. If you would like more information about our church, please visit our website at sunrisecc.com. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.